Good morning, everybody.
Good morning,
everybody.
Good morning.
What a joy to see the beauty in all of your faces. It's an honor to be here this morning. Can we stand together on one accord and give a hand for the mothering feminine energy of this vast universe we abide in? And for the mothers out there on the front line fighting for justice and equality, and for women all over the world. And would you be so kind as to remain standing? If you yourself had a hand in raising a child or children that may not have been yours from birth, but you know that child is yours, keep standing, and you claim that child is yours, and you love that child is yours, and you can keep on standing if you nurtured someone back to good health, or if at any point you encouraged a child, your own child, anybody's child along the roads of life, continue to stand if you've ever wiped the tears from a child's innocent eyes, or if you've ever wiped tears from your own eyes, or if you taught somebody something that you knew would be helpful for their well-being. Maybe it was how to play an instrument, how to cook a meal, how to wash hands, how to iron a crease, tie a tie, make a bed, sew a stitch, balance a checkbook, drive a car, when to say I'm sorry, please, thank you, or excuse me, and keep standing if you stood in for someone whose mama just didn't know how, or lack the expertise in being there for her own child. Perhaps you had to raise yourself or a younger or older sibling. We're not gonna forget you today, so just keep right on standing. Has anyone ever said to you, I wish you were my mama, or I wish you were my daddy, and you allowed them the pleasure of referring to you as that? Have you ever hugged somebody, been there for somebody, helped somebody get out of harm's way? Do you know what this means? It means you're a bad mama jamma with a strong mother, warrior, woman, nurturing spirit, whether you actually gave birth or not, and that somewhere inside of you resides a big mama or a grandmama or a great-grandmama or a grandma or a Mimi or a Gigi or a Yaya or an Umi or an Ia or a Madre, Abuela, Titi, Mama, Mazes, Mutmut, or Nanyas, and there is nothing more powerful than the spirit of our mothers who are still alive in the flesh, and nothing more sacred than the memories and the blessings of our ancestral's mamas who have made the grand exit to the other side. So let's take a moment as we sit down. I guess you said finally, huh? To welcome the presence of this most precious and powerful energy. I want you for a moment to just close your eyes and just dwell on something that fills your heart with joy, a memory, a dream, a conversation, a sunset, a time or a place. And please take your right hand and place it over your heart. And place your left hand over your right hand. Now open your eyes. Now, this is a nonverbal exercise, because remember what Mama said, just be still and calm down sometimes. So let's listen to Mama's advice and take a deep cleansing breath together. In through the nose and out through the mouth. And without words, just by using eye contact, take a moment to acknowledge the presence of the nurturing spirit of the person sitting on either side of you. Just give and receive and exchange this beautiful Mother Earth energy. Isn't that beautiful? Thank you. Yannick and Ayodele, thank you for that beautiful song. Grandma's hands, grandma's hands. Everybody say grandma's hands.
Grandma's hands.
I know now, although I didn't know way back then, why grandmamas and mamas and the sisters and brothers in the choir were always clapping their hands on Sunday morning. I believe that the clapping of their hands was symbolic of an awareness of them being recipients of the blessings they had been praying for. Whether they were praying for healing or praying for an answer to be revealed. The rhythmic gesture of hand clapping meant they were in awe of God's ability to rain down a fountain of blessings. Not necessarily one at a time, but often all at once. So that whether you were praying for your son or daughter to be free from drugs or alcohol, or praying for a way to send your child to college, the clapping of the hands meant you were showing up with great expectation to receive your blessing. And then after they clapped their hands, you would see them just standing with their hands uplifted, just basking in the sweetness of the Holy Spirit, or sitting on a pew with a bowed head humming or crying or moaning in great relief, knowing that they had placed all of their worries and concerns on the lap of God. Did you ever have the opportunity to sit on anyone's lap and to feel the motion of someone just rocking you back and forth and telling you it's going to be all right? Well, God is rocking your world this morning. And as I stand here and allow the beauty of God's feminine energy to speak through me, I want you to know that those positive, meaningful, life-affirming prayers that were laid down for you on your behalf, prayers that you knew nothing about, are still in motion, blessing you right now from the top of your head to the soles of your feet, and will continue to bless you for the rest of your days and beyond. I'm telling you, your prayers have a lot of mileage, especially the prayers that were prayed for you by your mamas and the elders. I'm telling you, it's going to be all right. I'm telling you, it's already all right. And I want you to know that God did not bring you all the way to the bridge to let you just fall underneath and drown in muddy waters. There's a blessing upon your shoulders this morning, and that blessing is escorting you as with a band of angels all the way across the bridge to your next destination, and the next, and the next. I want you to feel the warmth of a brand new fire this morning. And you know how when the flame goes out in the fireplace or at the campsite, somebody has to be the one to reignite the flame, or else it'll fizzle out and the heat is gone. In your life, you are the fire maker. Mama or Nana may have started the fire, but now it's up to you to keep the fire burning. Don't let the flames underneath your dreams dissipate. In Hebrew, the 4th chapter and the 16th verse, it says, let us approach the throne. Let me repeat that. Let us approach the throne with boldness. Which basically means let us lift our prayers and affirmations with the utmost confidence as we make our prayer requests known. Boldly and fiercely, like Queen Esther, a young woman in the Old Testament who built up her courage and broke tradition to save her people. Maybe you don't need to save a nation. Maybe what you need is simple and basic. Just please don't waste too much time judging yourself because of your circumstances. We all have to start somewhere. Some of us in here today have been homeless, unemployed, strung out, hungry, too embarrassed to go to the food bank. I've been there. Many of us have been there. It doesn't mean that you're not a child of God. You are still worthy and deserving of having your every need met. So in the meantime, hold your head up and walk tall. You will get through all of this. You may not have all the courage you need in one day, but let your courage build progressively, day by day. Just try standing up for yourself a little more today than you did yesterday, without condemning yourself. I'm talking about being true to you. Nobody knows you like you know you. No one can decide for you the dreams you have for yourself. So whether it's your vision board that you are recreating or your prayers that you are rewriting, state your desires with boldness and with confidence, knowing that the God in you knows what's best for you. Take pride in your ability to rise up. Joshua, the 1st chapter, 8th and 9th verses, reminds us to meditate both day and night, towards making your way prosperous and to be strong and of good courage and unafraid. Financial coach Alexa Von Tobel dropped out of Harvard's business school and started her own business at the age of 29. She says that the dream she had for her life kept on insisting being born and nurtured. She couldn't contain her dream, so she dropped out of business school. Eventually, she wrote a book about being financially fearless. She often reminds those in her audiences that you have to dream big because no one else can dream for you. She talked about a study that was done with 90-year-olds. Not one of the participants in the study regretted anything that they had done in their lives, but they did regret what they hadn't done. So when I visited Cozumel, Mexico on a cruise not too long ago, my sister Molly could not contain herself. Within moments after we got off the boat, she was already talking to a tour guide named Marco and asking him a whole list of questions. I was annoyed because none of the rest of us could get a word in edgewise. Marco promised to take a few of us, including my sister and I, to a beautiful beach a few miles away and to wait for us as we enjoyed the clear blue turquoise waters. And Molly just kept asking him question after question about snorkeling. And when we finally arrived at the beach, she asked Marco how much extra would it be to go snorkeling. Marco said, no problema. It was included in the price of his round trip of taking us to the beach and back. And so thinking that I was looking out for my sister and trying to find a way not to feel responsible if something happened to her while she was in the water, I asked Marco, could she possibly have an escort since she never snorkeled before? Once again, he says, no problem. There's a friend of mine, his name is Javier, who would take her, no problem. And how much is that? I asked. Just a tip, he answers. And Molly, intervening once again, says, well, how much is the tip? Marco replies, solamente tres, only $3. Meanwhile, my other sister is in her swimsuit, bathing in the sun, drinking ice-cold lemonade, and I want to do the same, until I see Molly heading toward the headgear and the duck shoes. I try to chase her in the sand, and when we get the headgear on, we realize we won't be able to breathe through our noses, and I'm thinking, this will get her. Her only question is, are these mouthpieces sanitized? And of course, they answer, yes, of course, and then I ask, but where are we going to put all our clothes? And I kind of notice that Molly is so happy with joy and excitement that she is actually ignoring me and is already on her way to find Marco and to find out where she can put her things. This is when I realize that she's going to get in that water with or without me. Marco tells Molly that he has another friend, Isabella, the same girl who put the hats on our head and took the pictures when we stepped onto the beach. She will give us a key if we will leave our IDs with her until we finish snorkeling. Well, that's it for me. No way am I leaving my passport with a stranger in another country. I knew that was a catch. But Molly says she'll leave her work ID. No problem. And that's when I just blurt out, maybe we can do this another time. And that is when my sister turns not only her head, but her whole self around and looks me dead in the eye and says, I've been waiting my whole life to do this. Well, that shut me up because there is no way that I am not going to let her live out her dream that I didn't even know she had. So we go back to the guys with the gear and they show us some papers that we have to sign. And I say, yeah, what is this for? What does this mean? If I die, it's not your fault? And he says, right. So we sign the papers and let Javier take us out into the water. He makes sure that we breathe smoothly through the tubes. No swimming, just glide, he tells us. And finally, I let go and let God. inhaling and exhaling through my mouth with the tube, Javier takes us to a place which, by the way, looks and feels like paradise. And my sister's insistence keeps ringing in my head like a song. I've been waiting my whole life to do this. As Javier feeds the fish, these beautiful fish swim with us like we belong in the water. And I ask myself, what in the world have I been waiting my whole life to do? Do I have as much courage as Molly? Do I have the courage of Esther? One of the things that I think we all do is we make the mistake of thinking that there's a final destination, a place where there won't be any more obstacles. But that place doesn't exist. There will be always something to grow through. But we get tired and we forget the bucket list. Too much work, too much faith to keep dragging along. And besides that, it always looks like others are not growing through anything. It looks like everybody is okay and perfect except for you. I guarantee you that the person who is next to you or in front of you or in back of you right now woke up the same way you did this morning, with sleep in their eyes, morning breath, and the desire to become more holy. Not one of us got up fully dressed and smelling all good like we do now. So please stop beating up on yourself and thinking that you're the only one who still makes mistakes, who still needs encouragement, who still needs to be rocked in Big Mama's rocking chair. You're not alone in this, and there is nothing wrong with you. You're just growing through it. Sometimes learning is smooth, and sometimes you learn the hard way. Like, for instance, there was a lady named Barbara where I grew up in Detroit who had an old broken down, I think it was a Buick. And she would take her children and a lot of other children, including her younger sister and I, to outdoor musical concerts and other events in Detroit. And one day, as we were putt-putting along in her very old vehicle, I don't know what came over me, but I took it upon myself to whisper to the other kids in the back seat, "This car is so old." I was just being a silly old preteen, and I really didn't think she heard me. But while she was still driving, she turned around and looked at me and said, "It's better than walking, my friend." And so I learned very early on not to make fun of other people's possessions, especially when other people were giving you a lift home. And Mama said, if someone gives you a lift, always at least offer them gas money. Now, my modern dance teacher, Miss Jackie Hillsman, had a big old paddle that she reserved for special occasions. Like when she returned from traveling with her dance troupe and got the report from the substitute teacher that we had acted a fool in her absence. But besides that big fat wooden paddle that she kept in clear sight and did use on occasion, and it was not considered child abuse, she reminded us daily to have poise and confidence. Poise and confidence. And don't you remember when your mama always used to say, "Stand up straight and stop hunching over like that. You're gonna get stuck like that." And do you remember pouting your lips or rolling your eyes at your mama when you had an attitude and she would say something like, "You better fix your face before I give you something to cry about." But what about the first time you fell in love and you really thought you were in love? And you planned to be with this love for the rest of your life, and your love decided they didn't want to be with you anymore. And you thought it was the end of the world, and that pain in your heart would never go away, but Mama reminded you, they ain't the only one left to love. And once, I don't know why, but the folks at our church decided that I should be the one to go away to Omaha, Nebraska for the Sunday School and BTU Youth Convention. Not on a plane, but on the Amtrak. And that Sister Julia Franklin, she was about this high, little fat face and gray wavy hair, would be my chaperone. And just the love that Miss Franklin gave me on that long ride all the way from Detroit, Michigan to Omaha, Nebraska. Do you remember the days before Saran Wrap? When there was wax paper? Well, Miss Franklin had fried chicken and rolls wrapped up in that wax paper. And then she pulled out dessert, some of that fresh yellow pound cake. Remember that? But before I got on the train with Miss Franklin, Mama gave me one of those heart-to-hearts, you know, with the finger not all the way in your face, but close enough to demand all your attention. And this is what she said. Never put all your money in the same spot. Because if somebody steals some of your money, they won't end up with all of your money. And that's when she gave me my very first girdle. And she gave me a handkerchief to wrap up some of my money inside of. And then I would wrap the handkerchief tightly in a knot and take a safety pin and pin the money to the inside of my girdle. And then I would put a little bit of the money inside of my sock, underneath my foot, inside of my shoe. And a little bit in my bra, and the rest in my purse, so that if anybody snatched my purse in Omaha, Nebraska, I would still have enough money to call home long distance. See, that's that mothering spirit, always looking out and trying to make everything a little better than it already was. Always trying to lift you up when you're down. Always trying to help you get right back on track. And what about those stories in the kitchen while you help Mama make those moist pound cakes and 7-Up cakes and pineapple upside down cake and German chocolate cake, and you got a chance to lick the batter from the mixer? That's a mama for you. And don't you forget how Mama said to always do your best, to look your best, and not to be walking around with ashy legs or ashy elbows or ashy lips or ashy knees. Just take a little bit of Vaseline and polish yourself up. Vaseline could take you a long way. You could use it for shoe polish, lotion, moisturizer, whatever you didn't have enough of, a little dab of Vaseline or Crisco could do the trick. Let me ask you something. Could your mama... Uh-oh. This came off my ear. Okay, let me fix it back. Hold on. You can still hear me? Okay, good. All right, tell me if you can't. Could your mama stretch out a meal like mine could? Stretch out anything to make it last longer and taste better at the same time. But when you're wrong, you're wrong. And a good mama is not afraid to discipline her child, especially when you knew you had a curfew. And you knew that your mama had spent countless hours washing and hot combing your hair dry. Now, that was before everybody could afford blow dryers. And besides that, blow dryers would blow up the electric bill. So Mama did it the old school way, and that was to dry your hair out with the hot comb while it was still wet. It sounds something like... Then she would press it with the straightening comb and then curl it with the hot curlers. And Mama would have an assembly line in the kitchen. Oh, everybody wait in line. Okay, you next. Maybe 2 or 3 hours per head. And she was a multitasker and would be cooking Sunday dinner and doing our hair at the same time. Well, I knew I had a curfew, but I just wanted to be cool and to not have to go home early like my friends. But what I didn't know then that I know so well now was that turning on that porch light and waiting for your child to arrive home safely in the middle of the night is painful. You worry. You pray. You clean off the tables and the counters that have already been wiped down, and you start to sweep a floor that's already spotless to keep yourself from thinking the worst. And you hum. And you sing.
This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine.
And you wait and you pray with tears in your eyes as you pull back the curtain one more time. And then you hear a car door slam and the footsteps. And the footsteps of your child approaching. And you open the door because you know your child doesn't have sense enough to have her key out yet. And you see your child's face. And you want to slap the mess out of her. For stressing you out. And you want to hug her and never let go. Because you were hoping the worst didn't happen. Lord, Lord. And then you realize on top of everything that the hair that you straightened and curled that same afternoon looks like the Dickens.
What did you do?
It looks like it did before you hot pressed and curled it.
Lord, Lord.
And you put your hands in the air. Knowing that if you say something now, it might wake up the rest of the household. And that you might say something you didn't mean to say. And Mama turns out the lights and goes to bed, and you know that you're gonna hear from Mama in the morning. And the next thing you know, in the blink of an eye, it's your turn to be Mama. And just like Mama, you want to keep your child safe and build your child up with confidence and esteem, just like your mama tried to do, because no mama is perfect. But your child comes in from school saying his teacher called him stupid. But he says this while you're in another room, so he won't have to see how angry you're going to be. And you know that if you overreact, you won't hear the details. It will cause your child to shut down, and so you listen to your child as you plan out your action. And your heart is breaking, and your temperature is rising, and it's too late to go around the corner to the school, and so you wait it out. And morning doesn't come fast enough, and you find yourself standing in front of the school when the janitor opens the door, you and your child. And you are breathing and waiting for this teacher who called your child stupid to appear. You've already made a request for the meeting. You have a visitor's pass in your hand. The AP has already told you that you are overreacting, but this is your child, the one you're responsible for, the one you have struggled to raise and to provide the best for. And finally, when it's your turn to go to that classroom, you question the teacher about her actions. And she tells you, of course, that she never said those words to your child. And being the mother that you are, you call your child into the classroom and ask him. And the first thing he says, because you have taught him how to be respectful, is, "Good morning." And then he goes on to say, "You probably just forgot it was right after lunch when you had your back to us and you were teaching us that math problem and you asked me and Christopher for the right answer, and when we got it wrong, you called us stupid, remember?" The blood is draining from her face. I send him back into the hallway, and I remind her that stupid is not the name I gave my son. And I tell her about responsibility as an educator. And I let her have it on behalf of all the mothers that I have ever met in my life. And I leave the room to rebuild my son's confidence. Just like Nana used to do when she put your face between her hands and told you, "Baby, you some kind of special. And don't ever forget it, you hear me?" So I'm going to stand here this morning and be Nana for a minute. Is that okay? Baby, listen to me. You're a child of God, and you are some kind of special, and you are bold, and you are courageous, and you are fearless and fired up for life, and no matter how old you are, it's never too late to dream big and to clap your hands in expectation. The time is now. So let's make a declaration together today. Repeat after me. I am a child of the Most High God.
I am a child of the Most High God.
I am some kind of special.
I am some kind of special.
I am bold and courageous.
I am bold and courageous.
I am fearless and fired up. It's never too late to dream big.
It's never too late to dream big.
I am all of that and 25 bags of chips.
I am all of that and 25 bags of chips.
Now give yourself a pat on the back. And give yourself a big old mama hug. Good. Mama said, if you make your bed, you gotta lie in it. But if it's not the right bed for you to be lying in, start your exit plan. Amanda Berry, one of the young women that was kidnapped right off the street in Cleveland, Ohio, and held captive for 10 years, says in her book that she never gave up hope. She said that she wrote notes and letters in code inside of her journal as if she were standing in front of an audience, thanking those who never gave up hope in finding her. Even while she was still in bondage, she visualized being home with her family. And then one day she woke up and something was different. Her bedroom door was unlocked. In 10 whole years, this door had never been unlocked. She inhaled all the courage she could, grabbed her baby girl in her hands, screamed out her plight to a neighbor who helped her escape, and called 911. The photograph of her holding on to her child at that moment before she was totally free sends chills down your spine. Freedom is what we need. We deserve the right to be free to be ourselves. And if by chance what mama said or is still saying no longer resonates with who you have the right to be yourself. You don't have to do life the same way the women in your family did. You have the right to mother yourself, nourish yourself in a way that is separate from others in your lineage. It's okay to know yourself well enough to know that you got to do something different. I say to you, get busy. Chart out your new life for yourself. You have the right to be joyful. You have the right to be successful. You have the right to say, I'm drawing the line in the sand today. You asked yourself, what's the difference between me and everyone else? The answer is you. You are the difference. And it's time for you to make the difference that only you can make. Michelle Obama has made a huge difference in many areas. But one thing I really appreciate is her decision to change the face of fashion and to acknowledge that it's too hot to wear sleeves all the time. Women sweat. Well, I got news for you. I'm sweating right this moment. And some of the old women at the church used to say, it's not ladylike to sweat. But sometimes you have to break out in a sweat to get to the next destination. Sometimes you have to do like the Temptations did. Keep on walking and don't look back. The spirit of our collective mothers is strong and mighty and pushing us forward. Whatever your mama said, right or wrong or good or bad or indifferent, you the mama now. You are the mother of your soul. So let's stand together and walk for our freedom and our dignity and our rights and for women all over this planet who are standing up and making a difference and for those who prayed and clapped their hands for us on Sunday morning and all through the week. Let's walk together with Yannick and Spiritus and the band.
Tell me what you see when I pass by. Shadow of